Seated. Let's pray. Father God, may we each hear your voice clearly tonight. Amen. A couple were Christmas shopping when the wife discovered that her husband was nowhere to be seen. So, a little confused, she rang him on her mobile phone, trying to find out where he was. He answered in a quiet voice, "Darling, do you remember 5 years ago when you fell in love with that diamond ring at a jeweler's? And I told you that one day I would get it for you." The wife choked with emotion and sobbed, "Yes, I remember." The husband replied, "Well, I'm in the pub next door." The people we trust can sometimes disappoint us, can't they? Principally because most of the time they don't disappoint us. They do us good. I want to speak briefly tonight about the power of friendship. Because it's one of the chief joys of life, isn't it? It gives us meaning, purpose, fun. I've met people who are frustrated with their friends. I've met people who are disappointed and annoyed with their friends. I've met people who'd quite like to trade some of their friends for new friends. But I'm not sure I've met anybody who's not interested in having good friends. They're so important, aren't they? As the saying goes, friends multiply joys and divide sorrows. If something really great has happened to you, it's natural tendency, isn't it, to go and share that with a friend. If you're going through a hard time, it's natural tendency to want a friend there standing beside you. Some of the most remarkable things you and I have done and achieved is because a group of friends have stood there and we've done it together. Friends have a big impact on us, don't they? One of those proverbs that John read out to us said, "Walk with the wise and become wise. The companion of fools suffers harm." It's true, isn't it? The people you spend time with have a huge influence on you. Every friendship you have, you know, brings out something in you and allows other parts of you to diminish. We've had instances recently, haven't we, of the impact of friends on some high-profile people. I'm affected by the cynicism of others. I'm affected by the ethics of others. I'm affected by the joys of others. It really matters, doesn't it, who we spend our time with? It really matters, as the proverb says, that we walk with the wise. Another of those proverbs develops that theme, the Proverbs 18. "One who has unreliable friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." If I can use an analogy, if you have an enemy or a competitor, you keep your eye on them figuratively, don't you? You move around, you don't let them out of your sight. In that sense, you want to keep an eye on their every move. You're kind of face-to-face in a confrontational situation. On the other hand, if you're romantically attracted to somebody, you want to get close to them, and it, in a sense, the closeness of your relationship will determine how close you get to the other party. That's a different face-to-face, isn't it? But you know, there's a sense in which friendship isn't face to face. It's side by side. You don't become friends with people by trying to become friends, do you? You become friends with people by being alongside them, doing something. Even if it's just a regular drink at the pub, or something at the sports centre, or whatever activity at work or in leisure, because you're doing something side by side and you recognise something is developing, you recognise a friendship's developing. And when this proverb talks about sticking closer than a brother, there's that sense, I think, of side by side closeness. That's encouraging to each of you in the friendship, that's affirming, because in a sense it's looking together outwards. Outwards in the way you join together in whatever it is that brings friendship to your relationship, and also looking out for each other. And part of that looking out for each other, isn't it true, is actually recognizing the need sometimes to say it straight to your friend. Another proverb John read out said, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We need people in our life, don't we, who will say things we don't want to hear, who will even risk losing us as a friend because they need to say something they believe will help us do better, help us flourish. That kind of feedback is a gift. It's one of the greatest gifts we can give our friends, even though it doesn't feel like it at the time. It's those wounds of a friend that are kind, and the kisses, the flattery of an enemy that is cruel. A friend is one who will confront you to your face, defend you to the hilt behind your back. We long for friends on this deep level, don't we? And yet we know it can cost us. Deep friendship costs us something, doesn't it, in independence. It costs us some of our freedom. And the emotional ride in a real friendship is never totally smooth, is it? In the 1960s, some of you, many of you perhaps, will remember the Simon and Garfunkel song called I Am a Rock, which rejected friendship as being too painful. I've built walls, a fortress deep and wide that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship because friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. A rock feels no pain, they sang, and an island never cries. And tonight of all nights is a night when we see what friendship can cost. John read a section from John 15, and in that section is this profound statement, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You know, in any normal context, that statement is talking about probably the most profound gift that a friend can give another. But in the extraordinary context of John 15, it's talking about Jesus, God, laying down his life for people who didn't know they were his friends, people who didn't even necessarily know he existed. We are celebrating tonight the birth of Jesus into a life that shows what friendship means, into a life that invites us to share that friendship. The truth is that our longing for friendship mirrors God's longing for friendship. We need and feel a need for friends because we are God's people, all of us. He longs for our friendship. And when we talk about friendship being part of what it means to be human, we're talking about that God-given desire in us to connect with people on a deeper level. So the transforming nature of our earthly friendships, the bars we've thought about, the encouragement, the support, the feedback, the direction, points to the transforming nature of the friendship of God, the God who created friendship. From time to time, we screw up our friendships, don't we? We let people down. We don't invest in friendships. We let them drift apart. But whatever we are like as a friend, tonight we celebrate the offer of friendship unconditionally from the greatest friend the world has ever seen. Before you and I knew anything about Jesus, he treated you. He treated me as a close friend. He was prepared to stick closer to you than anyone had done. Anything that got in the way of that friendship, he took on, dealt with it, and it cost him his life. He didn't just comfort you and stand beside you in that sense, he bore wounds for you. We started this evening, didn't we, with that humorous tale of disappointment. The message of Christmas is that Jesus took the risks he took to invite us into a friendship that will not disappoint. And the love that underpins that friendship, compared to our ability to sustain friendship, compared to our ability to lose friends, the love that underpins the friendship of God went through death, went through the hell of death, and came out the other side. But it's true, isn't it? Friendships die, or they never really get going because they're not two-way. It can't be friendship if it's only one way. The invitation tonight is to explore, to connect, to think about the offer of friendship. Everything you treasure about your friendships can be ours and more in our friendship with God. What we experience, what we enjoy, the rebukes, the joy, the pain, the suffering, the joy, the encouragement, are a mirror, a reflection of what God offers us in his Son. And those who have recognized the friendship, those who have connected with God and said, yes, I recognize what is being said here. Yes, I recognize what Jesus has done for me, have been changed. There's a sense tonight that that babe in Bethlehem, who we know grows up to be a man, holds a hand out still to us, inviting us to take hold of it and respond to him. And then we will know the reality of the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen.